My long journey to the operating table began in the town of Salamanca, a small community nestled among the northern side of the Unicorn Range. It isn't much to look at, lots of trees, a few lakes, and the ever-present cliff faces that seem to stretch on forever. At first glance, it would seem to be an ordinary pony settlement, and the community likes it that way, because Salamanca is also known for its crystal caves. They're among the largest crystal mines you'll find in all of Equestria. Many have craved these crystals over the centuries, everyone from neighboring pony tribes, griffins, and even dragons, all eager to claim the crystals for their own. But any invading armies face one big obstacle. Salamanca is home to some of the greatest, most powerful unicorns ever born. Over the centuries, every pony born there has been a unicorn, including the famed Starswirl the Bearded, greatest conjurer of the pre-classical era. Born and raised in Salamanca, he's its crowning achievement, the standard to which all unicorns aspire to. And for centuries, unicorns have worked towards matching Starswirl and adding glory to Salamanca. There have been countless numbers of them, some famous, most unknown, but all built Salamanca's reputation of making talented, pure-blooded unicorns. Then I came along. I'm told that, when I first opened my eyes at the hospital, I looked confused. That's probably because my parents were too. There were many things that moment. Sad, despairing, confused, and stunned. Why? It wasn't because I was deformed. I was an ordinary teal-colored pony with silver hair. Nor was I too large or too small. It was something more obvious. Everyone in the room, in the hospital, and the community outside had horns. I didn't. Before I even left the hospital, I had caused a stir. News travels fast, and soon all of Salamanca was faced with the unthinkable. An earth pony had been born. The unbroken streak of unicorns had been shattered. Centuries of a proud tradition ended in a single day. I wasn't aware of it. No foal ever is, and perhaps that was a blessing. There were no jeers, no cruel words after I was brought home. At least, not that my parents weren't aware of. They knew there were whispers behind closed doors and curious glances behind drawn curtains. They did their best to ignore it and focused solely on me, their only child, and working to ensure that I had a good childhood. My first real memories came just before I started school, and realizing for the first time that I was different from the other fillies. I still remember being enchanted by the sparkles emerging from their foreheads, and trying to do the same, only to feel nothing. Panicked, I ran to my parents and begged them to help me make sparkles. My parents, Celestia blessed them, had no doubt dreaded and feared the day when they would explain to me why I was different, and to their credit, they did their best, explaining to me that there were many different kinds of ponies in Equestria. I was confused, my young brain thinking that there were only ponies and that was it. My parents ended that assumption. First among all ponies, they explained, were the unicorns. Blessed with horns, they were able to wield magic, casting spells to change things as they saw fit, from teleportation to levitation, just to name a few. But they also used that magic to defend Equestria, for no invading army could get past their powerful magic. Next came the Pegasi ponies. Being the fastest and swiftest, they possessed the gift of flight. Their home was among the sky, where they controlled the weather, ensuring Equestria always got the right amount of sunshine, rain, and snow. Without them, the seasons would be a random mess. Then, there were the Alicorns, the rarest of all ponies. They could fly and wield magic at once. Such gifts were only to be found among the royal family who had ruled Equestria for centuries. It was here that I had first heard of Princess Miamore Cadenza, also known as Cadence, much easier to pronounce, the Princess of Love. There was a pony who could spread love. That blew my young mind. Princess Luna was next, the one who raised and lowered the moon, bringing us the starry night. I thought that was cool, as I had always loved looking upon the moon and stars at night. Even more amazing was learning that one of Luna's duties was to work through the dreams of ponies while they slept, helping them to conquer their fears. Though I hadn't seen her in my dreams, the thought of meeting her there was exciting. And then there was Princess Celestia, the biggest, most awesome alicorn of them all, who was not only the ruler of Equestria, but also the one who raised the sun each morning. She was the greatest, wisest, and most loving being of us all, who ensured that all ponies lived in peace and harmony. Awestruck, I asked if Celestia worked to help me live in peace and harmony too. My parents said that, yes, she did. When the sun woke me each morning, that was Celestia raising it into place for me, as she did for all ponies. And if the land ever came under attack, she would help keep me safe. In retrospect, I believe it's this moment that set my life into motion and began events none of us could have comprehended, much less my parents, who had no idea their simple answers would lead to so much misery and soul-searching. But how could they have known? Maybe it's better they didn't, and I hope they never will. With the unicorns, Pegasus ponies, and alicorns described to me, my parents discussed the final type, the earth ponies, the most seemingly useless of them all. They don't have magic, they can't fly, and they certainly don't have the powers of a goddess. But my parents assured me that earth ponies had their own gifts. Being born from the earth, they were stronger and hardier than the others, able to run longer, hit harder, and last the longest when all others would have dropped from exhaustion. They could also subtly interact with the earth to grow the richest, most nutritious food and have special bonds with animals that other ponies couldn't. My parents even said that, in a way, earth ponies are the most important of all, and the most special. Unicorns and Pegasus may have more obvious powers, but without us, food could not be grown, and pony society would fall apart. Even as a colt, I realized that was bullshit. I mean, come on. We were the most special. Unicorns can cast spells and perform incredible feats of magic. Pegasus ponies can fly. Fly, freaking fly through the sky and sleep in the clouds. And alicorns? Well, they can do both and are essentially divinity itself. And what do earth ponies do? We stay on the ground and grow food. Whoop-de-shoo-wee-doo. While the discussion had opened my eyes to how many other types of ponies there were, it made me realize how unlucky I was to be born as an earth pony, and when school started, that misfortune wasted no time in raising its head. When I trotted through the school halls, the others would stare at me. Whispers and shadowed glances were common, and I couldn't escape them, no matter where I went. Classes were even worse. General education was fine, for all ponies went through it, being taught the basics of life. But magical classes? Well, there was no real point in me going to them. Without a horn, I couldn't learn magic. My teachers didn't know what to do with me, figuring I would be better off spending my time elsewhere. Thus, at an early age, I wandered throughout Sadalanka, exploring and even managing to get small jobs. Nothing too complicated, where my fellow students got to practice their magic. I got to practice working the day-to-day world, either by cleaning floors, taking out the trash, or even giving the corner shop a fresh coat of paint. Boring, maybe. Tedious, perhaps, but it was through these odd jobs that I finally found my cutie mark. Growing up, my parents long wondered what name to give me, and while they did that, I talked. Not words, of course, but I spoke sooner than any of the other babies in the community. I would babble on for hours, saying nonsense, mimicking everyone around me. While they didn't appreciate it all the time, it's hard to get some sleep when your baby won't shut up, it soon became clear that I would be a motor mouth. Within a year, I was able to mimic the words of others. While other babies were still gurgling in their diapers, I was conversing with the family parrot for hours on end, two beings exchanging nonsense, mimicking each other. Thus, seeing my penchant for talking, my parents decided to call me Silverspeak, Silver for my hair and mane, and speak for, well, guess. When I went to work, it quickly became clear that all those hours of talking and babbling paid off, as I could charm my way into any job I wanted, and even convince my employers into giving me a few more bits than they initially offered. I had the gift of the silver tongue, able to charm the birds from the trees and bend others to my will, given enough time. Even my parents found it difficult to resist if I set my mind to it, and by building up my social and customer skills, I only got better. It wasn't long before my cutie mark graced my flank, a microphone, with silver lines emerging from the top. I had gained my talent and cutie mark before anyone else in school. It should have been a gift. It wasn't. Being raised with high opinions of themselves, my fellow students were disgusted that I, an ordinary earth pony, had gotten my cutie mark before them. I had been teased before, but now it became a torrent, the result of angry ponies wanting to vent their frustration. The adults did what they could, and managed to stop most of the bullying. But there was one individual they couldn't stop. In Salalanca, all fillies are told from birth that they're part of a special heritage with the greatest unicorn blood in Equestria flowing through their veins. They're born to do great things, to rise and be the greatest, so it's easy and perhaps inevitable for all that praise to go to their heads. But there's always one pony per generation who overflows with raw talent, who learns the fastest, who does the things no one else can manage, and out of everyone in school, none had more potential than Magnus Bluehorn. Among us all, Magnus was big, even for one so young. He stood taller than all of us, his skin the colour of lightly darkened blue, and his hair was the colour of tarnished gold. In retrospect, it seemed almost like a foreshadowing of things to come, but no one heeded it. Magnus may have been talented, handsome, and possessing of the most potential of us all, but he was also a bully. He had been raised being told that he would be the best of us all, even surpassing his parents, and every pony believed it. And as is the case with so many of his kind, it went to his head. He couldn't fail. His parents and teachers did what they could to make it easy for him. Everyone wanted to have a hand in making the next star swirl. They wanted it so badly that when Magnus started to bully me, they only made a half-hearted attempt to stop him. The desire to create the next superstar was stronger than the desire for discipline and fairness. Day after day, week after week, I would be tagged and bullied by Magnus. Being the only earth pony for miles around, I was an easy target. "Hey, Silver Squeak," he would shout. "Come here, I need someone to be target practice." I tried to ignore him. But when you're stuck in school with a bully 5 days a week, month after month, year after year, it's nearly impossible. And with no way to defend myself, I frequently found myself being raised into the air, fighting against an invisible force I was helpless to stop. Not that I didn't try. I kicked and thrashed, and upon being stranded on a tree or roof, I would do everything I could to get down. But sometimes Magnus would gather his little gang, who would use their own magic to pin me in place. And as time went on, their magic grew more powerful. It wasn't long before Magnus could keep me pinned for hours with a casual wave of his horn. Another wave, and he would make my limbs dance uncontrollably. Yet another wave, and I would throw up every time I tried to drink and eat. Sadalanka's most talented unicorn learned more about magic from tormenting me than he did in studying books. There were a few moments where I fought back. I would squeal on him every time he bullied me, and it was always annoying for him when an adult would order him to stop. And one time, after his entire gang teamed up on me, I was able to get close enough and buck him in the face with my hind hooves. It was so satisfying to hear the crack of his jawbones fracturing. He couldn't have done the same, for, as a unicorn, he didn't have the raw strength I was developing. But in the long run, it didn't work. The adults in our community didn't want Magnus's potential career to be ruined or sidelined because of disciplinary issues, and certainly not by sending him to a reform camp where troubled ponies were helped. And when I attacked him, I was suspended for a month. Never mind that I was defending myself, never mind that he had been picking on me for years and the adults didn't do diddly squat to stop him. I was punished, and he was allowed to go free. School was Tartarus. If I had the chance, I would have tossed Magnus into the real thing without hesitation. But life outside school, while better, wasn't what I wanted. I could endure the bullying, but there was one thing I couldn't handle. I was alone. In all of Sadalanka, I was the only one of my kind. Earth Pony. The label almost became a derogatory term. Most had come to accept me, if somewhat reluctantly. But my parents? My parents couldn't. My parents loved me, I have no doubt of that. I am their son, but I'm not the one they wanted. Despite all the smiles, all the kind words, all the birthday parties, I could always sense their disappointment. They had so dearly wanted a child they could train in the ways of magic, and that dream had been taken from them. I was their greatest disappointment, and I resented it, no matter how hard they tried to hide their feelings. As the years passed, I spent more time away from home, going anywhere I could to gain solitude, but mostly into the mines and to the crystal gardens within. Of all of Sadalanka's sights, the gardens are the most beautiful, giant caverns deep within the mountains, filled with crystals of all sizes and colours, and waterfalls that plunge deep into the earth, into depths no pony has ever explored. I would walk onto the grassy platforms, and sit among the crystals, hoping that their energy would magically grant me a horn or a spark of magic, anything. They never did. At night, I would walk onto the bluffs and look to the sky, watching for Princess Luna, hoping to catch a glimpse of her among the stars. And when that didn't work, I would glimpse inside Sadalanka's only nightclub, as it was even rumored that Luna would sometimes go to nightclubs and party with her subjects who loved the night. But if she ever visited the nightclub, I never saw her. But among those troubled years, there was one pony who I looked up to, Princess Celestia. In a way, she was my angel, my shining beacon of hope in a world where I felt so alone. I became an early riser, watching the sun come up, hoping to get a glimpse of her. I never did, but I kept trying. And then, one day, out of the blue, my mother suggested that perhaps I could write Celestia a letter. "What could I tell her?" I asked. "Tell her how you feel." Taking a parchment and quill, I did exactly that, writing the most passionate letter any young pony ever wrote to a princess, telling her who I was and how I appreciated her raising the sun, not only for me, but for all ponies everywhere. And when the letter was finished, it was ready to be mailed out, and yet it didn't feel complete. Something was missing. Looking it over, I realized that it was a fan letter. Nothing more. I had written a passionate fan letter, not a heartfelt one. The note was crunched up and tossed into the trash. I took another piece of parchment and gave myself permission to pour everything out, and I did. I wrote how I was so unhappy living in a place where I felt like an outcast. The ponies in Sadalanka accepted me, but they did not respect me, and certainly did not love me. I asked her if she could help me. She was the wisest pony alive. Anything she wrote would do, really. A kind word, some encouragement. But what I really wanted? What I really wanted? I told Celestia how I felt so useless. I didn't want to be like that. I wanted to be like everyone else, to be important and needed, to be accepted for who I really was rather than despise what I could have been. I asked her for her wisdom, to tell me what to do, or at least guide me down the path. She, more than anyone, would understand. My hooves shaking with excitement, I finished the letter and sealed it up, and took it to the post office, sticking it into the slot. I was so happy, trotting back home. The greatest being in Equestria was going to help me, and for weeks afterwards, I went to the mailbox, eager to find an envelope inside bearing the royal seal. It never came. Celestia never wrote back. I was left to myself, an outcast in a community that viewed my very existence as an embarrassment.